Over two centuries ago, it was England that taxed our tea. Now it's Brussels trying to regulate our companies. Under new European regulations, American businesses face crushing fines, forced disclosures, and foreign red tape that kills jobs here at home. America's laws should be written in America, not Brussels. Reject European regulatory overreach and uphold Trump's trade deal. Paid for by Americans for Limited Government.
Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. Today I mainly want to talk about two things. First, I want to briefly address my thoughts on Target's new employee policy. And second, more importantly, because this will take much longer, is I want to revisit something that I said before and to further clarify it. So, buckle your seatbelts, let's get started. So the first quick thing I want to get into is my thoughts on Target's new policy. So for those who haven't been on social media, Target has apparently announced that they're requiring employees to smile. That has to at least have some kernel of truth to it, because countless articles from different news sources saying similar things have popped up in my feed. I frankly haven't dug too deep into it because I don't work there and I have no interest in working there. But like, I want to talk about that premise, the idea of requiring people to smile. So I'm probably going to break with a lot of the right on this because, you know, a lot of the people on the right will lament rightfully the decline of customer service. I mean, I don't know 100% what it was like in, say, the 50s, 60s, 70s going to a store because I wasn't born yet. But I will say it's sad when you go to a restaurant or a store and the employee literally does not give a crap, does not want to be there, does not have any even pretense of concern for you or your situation. I understand that they're at the job that they probably don't love. But like, when you have literally total apathy, you do not care, and you are rude to customers, openly rude to them, especially when they are just peacefully minding their own business, shopping at your place of work, or B, coming to you with actual concerns, and you're just like, eh, I don't care. That's, you know, that's sad. We shouldn't encourage that. I'll completely agree. It was sad, for example, the time that my family and I went to Burger King. My dad's sandwich was literally frozen solid, hard as a rock. This was a few years ago, but he goes up there with this chicken sandwich that's frozen solid, can't bite into it, it's hard as a rock, and nobody wants to eat that, okay? Nobody wants to eat a frozen chicken sandwich unless you're weird. He goes up there, and they gave him a new sandwich, but they just did not seem to care at all. Not even a, I'm sorry this happened to you, or a sorry we've messed up, not even, nothing like that, just complete apathy. Or more recently, I went to a KFC, and I couldn't order on the kiosk because the kiosk didn't have a button for what I wanted, and those kiosks are completely inaccessible, too, for someone with low vision. So I go up there, and I'm ordering, and I'm telling the lady exactly what I want, and she's being deliberately ambiguous to where I'm like, what? Like, I have no idea what item she's talking about, because she's being as indirect and rude as possible. And it's like, no wonder your business is struggling if you treat customers like this when you actually have to take an order. You didn't say that to her, obviously, but it's, you know, it's a problem. However, comma, I will draw the line here and say that, yes, we want good customer service. Customer service needs to improve. Yes, we can all agree on that. At least I would think most of us can't. Any of us that care even a little bit. But requiring employees to smile is emotional abuse. Because you are requiring employees to embody a state of being that is unrealistic, that you're requiring them to model unrealistic expectations, potentially to children, because Target's not an adults-only store, obviously, for anyone that doesn't live under a rock. Children shop there with their parents and their families. So you are modeling, you're requiring your employees to model an unrealistic expectation for children that when you're at work, you have to smile no matter what's going on in your life, in or out of work. Like, your brother could have just broke his leg last night. You could have had the worst night of your life. You could have broke your leg and, like, just come back. You could still be in pain and you still have to smile 24/7. That's unrealistic and unhealthy. I understand that there is such a thing as wearing your heart on your sleeve too much. Yes, especially at work, there is a such thing as professionalism. But that's the thing. There needs to be a balance. There is a happy medium between requiring employees to smile 24/7, or maybe not 24/7, but the entire time they're at work, and, you know, having no standards whatsoever to where people are just doing and saying whatever they want at work. Like, there is a happy medium there. And we need to have that instead of just pivoting to one extreme or another. That seems to be a common theme in today's society. I noticed it in politics, obviously. I've commented on it before. But even outside of politics, this idea that we need extremes, either a complete abandonment of professional standards or unrealistic standards, like requiring people to smile. This idea that we must either love or hate any new movie or trend that comes out. This idea that you're either on Team iPhone or Team Android. And, like, I mean, I'm sure much of this rivalry is more in jest, but still, like, this idea that we always have to be dividing ourselves into us's and them's in all things, all the time, constantly. It's super annoying. I know I hadn't intended to comment on this, but I wanted to address it because it ties into what I'm saying, that we need to have a happy medium. We don't need to require people to smile 24/7 or at least throughout their entire shift. That's unrealistic. That's unhealthy. I'm not usually one to talk about emotions a lot, but this is one of the cases where, you know, these workers are human too. They have feelings. They're not human smiley face stickers. You know, those smiley face stickers the teachers used to put on our assignments when we did well. If you didn't get a gold star, it was a smiley face. Yeah. Target employees are not human smiley face stickers. They have other things going on. They don't belong to Target. Their face is not Target property. Okay? I understand that you represent your employer when you work for them, but that does not mean you become property the minute you step in the door. You are still a human. You are still a child of God, even when you're at work. That, yes, we do need professionalism, but there's a line. And I think, I don't know quite how to articulate what the line is exactly, but this is one of those cases where I know what crossing the line is when I see it, and this is crossing the line to require people to smile constantly. Now, the other thing I want to revisit is before, when I redid my episode about free speech, I talked about some of the exceptions to free speech, and one of the exceptions was regarding threats. Obviously, what most people would picture when you ask them to picture what a threat is, or to give an example of a threat, is still something I would say is an exception to the free speech rule. If you threaten to kill someone, you know, whether you were joking or not, we sadly live in a time and a place where we can't always just hope that you are joking. I mean, we have, especially if you're threatening to commit a mass crime, if you're threatening to commit a school shooting, schools can't afford to bank on the idea that you might be joking, because we've had way too many school shooters, for example. They drilled this into us when I was in high school, that you do not even joke about doing something like that, because even joking about that is a crime, because you're threatening the school, and you're threatening the lives of the people inside it. So obviously, most threats, the way we would think of it, are still things I would say should be an exception to the free speech protection, because you cannot incite or threaten violence against others, and we can't always ferret out easily what a credible threat is or isn't. Now, there are ways to figure that out, but some of those ways can be time consuming. So, you know, we as a society and, you know, communities, schools, etc., don't always have time and resources to engage in that. And so it's understandable when people who make threats but don't actually intend to carry them out are hit with the same consequences that someone would receive if they fully intended and had the means and the capability to carry out the threat. However, there are cases when this mentality can go too far. And that's why I wanted to say I'm clarifying my stance on this. Because while obviously most things that a reasonable person would consider to be a threat, to meet the definition of the word threat, should be exempted from protected speech, not everything that is structured as a threat or looks like one is necessarily a threat, is necessarily something that should be treated with the same brush as what most people would consider a threat, like what I just talked about. So, for example, it's dumb when schools act like finger guns are a violation of the zero tolerances on guns and stuff. Because, yes, there's a time and a place for those. I could see having kind of a lesson that teaches kids that, hey, these are some things you can do playing around, but there is a time and a place, just like you wouldn't go into a job interview mooing like a cow. Maybe it's not a good idea to go into one with finger guns, or maybe it's not a good idea to walk around Walmart with finger guns, you know. But if two kids are just playing, if they're playing cops and robbers or whatever, and they do a finger gun, I don't think that should be a disciplinary incident, because obviously, one, they're playing, especially if they are on the playground, you know, they're not in class, they're obviously running around chasing each other, playing a game, being kids, especially boys. It's not to say girls can't enjoy those games too, but typically boys are more inclined to them. So, obviously, they're just running around being kids. They're on the playground. It's the right time and place for if you're going to have time and a place for that, that's the time and the place, because they're not in class, they're not disrupting anyone, they're not in church, they're not in Walmart doing that, they're, you know, it's a playground, it's for playing, it's a ground for playing, literally. And so I think that cases like that are where that well-intentioned mentality of zero tolerance does go too far. There is a such thing as going too far in the other direction. In either direction, there's a such thing as going too far and not caring about safety, not taking actual threats seriously. That's a problem. We've seen that happen way too many times. But there's also a way to go in the other direction where you treat things that are not actually threats or actually reasonably able to hurt someone physically. You know, you treat that the same way you would an actual threat. You know, that's in my view, can be just as bad. So I wanted to clarify that yes, threats should be exempt from a protected speech, but the definition of a threat does need to be fleshed out. And I'll also say, too, I focused all this time on actions. There's also, you know, even something that's structured in the same sentence format as a threat is not always necessarily a threat. For example, I didn't get in trouble for this, but if there was one time in middle school, I was trying to talk to one of my friends, and this boy whose name shall be left anonymous, he was just in the mood to be a brat, and he decided that he was just going to say the phrase, eating chocolate, eating chocolate, eating chocolate, eating chocolate, over and over again while I was trying to talk. I was not even talking to him. I was talking to someone else entirely, and he decided to do that for probably a good 30 seconds on end. And finally, I looked at him, and I went, I said his name, and I said, I'm going to cover you in chocolate if you don't shut up. Now, technically, that sentence, you could say, is structured similar to a threat. You know, this is what I'm going to do if you don't do this. However, one, do not possess, never have possessed enough chocolate to do that. Number two, I had no plans to actually do that. I just said it kind of in the heat of the moment because I was tired of hearing him talk over me while I was trying to talk. I didn't really mean it. And, you know, I was 12. No, I think I was 13. I think it was early 8th grade. I was 13. And kids are going to say stupid stuff. You know, kids are going to do stupid stuff. And I think sometimes we as a society, you know, in the quest to keep everyone safe, we've sometimes gone too far in the wrong direction, where we don't let kids be kids, you know. Kids are going to say stupid stuff. Kids are going to do stupid stuff. Because sometimes they have to, you know, they have to learn by doing. And they have to learn, sometimes they have to learn what is acceptable to say by first messing up and saying the wrong thing. You know, they're not going to come out of the womb fully with tempers fully regulated, emotions fully regulated, impulse control fully intact. And so I feel like sometimes we've taken away some of those opportunities for kids to live and learn, in the quest to keep them safe. You know, people freak out if kids are allowed to play outside anymore. You know, if kids are playing outside and an adult's not 5 feet away from them, sometimes the parent gets in trouble. And it's like, Kids need to run around and play. That's part of being a kid. Sometimes, and you know, with the finger guns and stuff like that, you know, kids are going to be kids. They're going to play. They need to learn time and place. They need to learn there's a time and a place for that kind of stuff. You know, they do need to learn that, but sending them to the office and treating them like they just poisoned a puppy, it's not the way to teach that. And so those are my thoughts on that. That not everything that looks like a threat on the surface necessarily should be lumped in with things that are actual threats. Things that we actually need to be on the lookout for. Things that actually should be exempt from protected speech. I wanted to clarify that because I said and still believe that threats of violence towards others should be exempt from protected speech. But I think that the way we define a threat needs to be ironed out if that's going to be the case. I know it has been the case for a while that threats haven't been protected. I'm just saying that part of the way to strengthen that while also maintaining protections for speech that does not meet the cut for a threat, in order to balance both of those concerns, there needs to be an agreed upon definition of what constitutes a threat. So those are just my thoughts on that. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. I apologize that I've been kind of stumbling over my words a bit more than normal. It's been a long day, but I really appreciate all of y'all that listen, and I hope you'll pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested and come back next time. We have a Facebook page and Jesse's Fireside Chats and an X account at JFSC Pod. Sorry. You can contact us there. You can also send us an email if you feel so inclined at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com. We also have a coffee page, so no pressure, but if you'd like to leave us a small donation, we would really appreciate it at kofi.com/jessesfiresidechats. If you'd like to be a guest, please feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to have a guest on here instead of just me talking. And all I gotta say is have a blessed day.